From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled Redemption Accomplished and Applied, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Avoid That Slip. The text is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 23. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. That is to say, if we follow the ways of wisdom and holiness, we shall be preserved in them. He who travels by daylight along the highway is under some protection. There is a way for every man, namely his own proper calling in life. And if we devoutly walk therein in the fear of God, he will preserve us from evil. We may not travel luxuriously, but we shall walk safely. We may not be able to run like young men, but we shall be able to walk like good men. Our greatest danger lies in ourselves. Our feeble foot is so sadly apt to stumble. Let us ask for more moral strength, that our tendency to slip may be overcome. Some stumble because they do not see the stone in the way. Divine grace enables us to perceive sin, and so to avoid it. Let us plead this promise, and trust in Him who upholds His chosen. Alas, our worst peril is our own carelessness. But against this the Lord Jesus has put us on our guard, saying, Watch and pray. Oh, for grace to walk this day without a single stumble. It is not enough that we do not actually fall. Our cry should be that we may not make the smallest slip with our feet, but may at the last adore Him who is able to keep us from stumbling.
Mountaintop, we have gleaned so many things. We've been drawn closer to His heart, a place that trial brings. We have seen victory over sin and witnessed answered prayer. We have known Christ be our only strength, found His word a jewel rare. Keep your heart, keep your heart, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep it clean, keep it pure. Make your love for Christ endure. Guard your ears, guard your eyes, pressing onward to the prize. Lest you fall, lest you fail, make your love for Christ prevail. Now from your mountaintop to your valley here below, you have all wicked foe, the victory victory is at your command. Your prayers He'll answer still. Be the guardian of your only heart. Be this word His perfect will. Keep your heart, keep your heart, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep it clean, keep it pure. Make your love for Christ endure. Guard your ears, guard your eyes, pressing onward to the prize. Lest you fall, lest you fail, make your love for Christ prevail. Keep your heart, keep your heart, keep your heart, keep your heart.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. In the opening verse of Joshua chapter 13, the Lord declared that Joshua was old and stricken in years, yet there remained very much land to be possessed. In verse 6, God instructed Joshua to settle the people in the land and to divide it to them by lot. Joshua had finished the work to which he'd been called, conquering the major cities of the land. Yet the children of Israel had yet to possess all of the territory for themselves. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will draw a parallel between the work of Joshua and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we'll see, Christ set out to win the blessings of God's grace for lost sinners. Then he had to ensure the settlement of those blessings upon his people. Like Joshua, the Lord Jesus had a definite purpose in view, and he accomplished what he set out to do. Now to introduce this message, Redemption Accomplished and Applied, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're making a little progress through the book of Joshua now, and we come to the 13th chapter. Having spent a little time in the 12th chapter, to the surprise I know of many who wondered why we would spend time in a chapter that's half made up of a list of names. We proceed now to chapter 13. We're going to read the opening 6 verses of the chapter. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and all Geshuri, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted unto the Canaanite. 5 lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites and the Ashdothites, the Eshkolonites, the Gittites and the Ekronites, also the Avites. From the south, all the land of the Canaanites, Mara, that is beside the Sidonians, unto Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites, and all Lebanon toward the sun rising, from Baal-Gad, under Mount Hermon, unto the entering into Hamath. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misrephoth-Maim, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Want us to turn your attention particularly to verse 1, but keeping in mind the final words also that we read in verse 6. Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Then at the end of verse 6, Them will I drive out before the children of Israel, only divide thou it by lot unto the children of Israel for an inheritance. The words of verse 1 meant very different things to Joshua and to Israel. To Israel, these words were a call to continued battle for the full possession of the land which the Lord had given them. To Joshua, on the other hand, they were a call to cease from battle, that battle in which he had been for many years now engaged, and to spend the last few years of his life in dividing the land among the children of Israel. Joshua had finished his warfare, and now he had to attend to the important business of settling the children of Israel into the land which he had won for them. The settlement would have been impossible without the warfare. On the other hand, the warfare would have been absolutely wasted without the settlement. So these two aspects of Joshua's work were equally important. Keep them in mind, for they will be the basis of all that I want to say to you today. He had first to fight the battle and win the land. And then he had to settle that land or distribute it to the children of Israel. Now, in this, Joshua presents an exact parallel with the Lord Jesus Christ, just as we have seen that he does in many other parts of his ministry. Joshua doesn't only have the coincidence of the same name as Jesus, both meaning the same thing, one in Hebrew, one in Greek. They are the same name. There's more than a coincidence of name. As I have been pointing out as we have gone through this book of Joshua, Joshua's work is an Old Testament picture of the real work of the real Joshua, the real Jesus. And here we will see the parallel very, very clearly. For the Lord Jesus Christ also has two great parts to his work. Like Joshua, first of all, he had to win the blessings of grace for his people. And then, having won the blessings of grace for his people, he had to ensure the settlement of those blessings upon his people. So here then are the two great parts of the work of Christ as our Redeemer. Today, keeping our Bible reading in our minds, using it as the background from which we will draw our information, I want us to think upon this great theme: redemption accomplished and applied. Redemption accomplished and applied. And I have three or four very, very simple truths to state about Christ and his redemption, which we will find clearly illustrated here in the book of Joshua. First of all, let me remark that the Lord Jesus Christ did all his work with the purpose of conferring its benefits on his people. Now think of those words very, very carefully. The Lord Jesus Christ did all his work with the purpose of conferring its benefits upon his people. In this he fulfills the type of Joshua. Joshua did not fight his battles and win his victories without having before him a very definite and specific purpose. When Joshua fought these various kings and dispossessed them, when he took over the land of what was to be Israel, formerly Canaan, he did so in order to put his people in actual possession of that land, in actual enjoyment of the fruit of all his conquests. That was Joshua's purpose. And the same thing is true of the greater Joshua. In all that he did, the Lord Jesus Christ had a definite people in view. Never forget that. In all he did, he had a definite people in view. In all he did, he had a definite purpose in view. Now, it's very popular to speak of Christ's work, especially of Christ's death, as merely making salvation possible. According to this view, it's preached all over America, all over the world. The Lord Jesus did all this in order to make salvation possible. How many times people preach that, thinking in all sincerity that they are preaching the unadulterated gospel of the New Testament. According to this, all that the Lord Jesus actually did was to make men capable of being saved. In this view, he didn't aim at anything very definite. He didn't aim at anything more than simply making men capable of salvation. The view is, he wanted to save everybody without exception. Of course, it is admitted, he doesn't actually save everybody without exception. And of course, that leads to enormous problems. It's very hard to preach the Christ of the Bible and preach that he meant to do a whole lot, but he actually ended up doing a lot less than he intended. Very hard to preach the Christ of the Bible with that as your basic doctrine. The popular view, quite simply, is not the gospel. Now, it comes as a shock to many people when a preacher is audacious enough to say that. But I want you to understand it. The popular view that Jesus Christ, by his death, set out merely to make salvation possible just simply is not the gospel. Let me make this clear. When God sent his Son into the world, he had a definite purpose in view. He had a definite intention in sending him. What is that intention? Well, there are many scriptures that spell it out, but take, for instance, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Sent his Son, literally, the propitiation for our sins. Now, what is a propitiation? There's a lot of learned discussion on what a propitiation is. Most of it is beside the point. We can come very simply and very quickly to the biblical definition of propitiation. First, it is something directed toward God. Let's understand that clearly. A propitiation is a sacrifice directed toward God to satisfy his justice and thereby provide the sole basis for the justification of sinners. That is a propitiation. Now, says the Apostle John, God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to make a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice, to satisfy the wrath of God against all our sins, and thereby provide the ground of our justification and our acceptance with God. That was God's intention in sending Christ into the world. That he would actually, not potentially, but actually satisfy the justice of God, the law of God, put away the wrath of God and the curse of God that was against our sin, and thereby give us the ground of justification. That was God's intention in sending his Son. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, he also had a very definite intention in mind. Staying in 1 John, we note the famous words of chapter 3, verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That was his intention. Paul spells out the intention in different terms in Titus 2:14. He speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Notice the people. I told you he had definite people in mind. Now notice the purpose. He gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That was Christ's intention. In the famous words of Ephesians 5:25-27, the apostle spells out the intention of Christ in loving and dying for his church. He said, Christ loved the church. Notice again, the people he has in mind. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Here is the purpose of the Savior in coming, to give himself for his church, to sanctify that church, to cleanse that church, to present that church in glory without sin. That is the purpose of Christ in coming into the world.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.